Hi.
Hi.
Okay, Semi, this one's for you.
Okay.
This question or situation came up last week when we were teaching in Tel Aviv. I was teaching women in Tanakh, and the woman we were focusing on last week was in Book of Judges. So there are judges, they're leading the people, there are prophets, they are prophesizing, eventually there's going to be a king. However, right now, all the prophets and all the judges emerge from within the nation. They are chosen to be leaders by dint of their merits, their piousness, the fact that they're working on themselves, etc. And that really does stem with our the way we look at the world today, is that the more merit you have, you work on something, you will achieve. And it really does also fit with Judaism, is that, you know, your free will get you places, etc. However, what you have with priests, Kohanim, so we have the concept of priests, and those are not chosen by merit. Those are born priests, and they get special clothes, and they get to do special things, and they get special monies, and it doesn't seem to work. It's almost like a caste system, whereas usually we have a meritocracy. So what is Judaism? Is Judaism a meritocracy, or are we born into certain fates and that's what we play out?
Okay, so let me maybe repeat the question.
Okay.
The question you're saying is, well, Judaism, generally speaking, works under a system of merit.
Right.
This seems to stand against that. A Kohen seems to get special treatment, but he was born into it.
Correct. He didn't do anything for it. He could be a lousy person.
So I suppose a good way of answering this question, it's one of those things that if you relate to the symbolic ideas that Judaism's giving over by way of how they act in Jewish law, it gives us perhaps a different perspective on them, which I want to perhaps develop.
So we're going below the surface into the symbolic significance of it.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, because often we have to sort of step back of our general conception of both, it's interesting, both a caste system, but also what we mean by a priest. A priest in general, when we think of the priest, at least personally, I think of Catholicism. I think of the the Catholic Church. I think of
very pious, secluded people that live on a higher plane.
Right, but my point isn't so much that they're secluded. My point is that they act separately from the rest of the community. They act differently. They're considered holier than the rest of the community.
Correct.
But
they're the goal, so to speak.
Yes. So perhaps to be them is the goal. You want to try and become a priest. That's the ideal and most sublime expression of their religious system.
Right, and we can't do that. We can't become priests.
Correct. So I think understanding or appreciating what a Jewish priest is, and the same sort of thing applies when you look in the ancient world. The ancient world, a priest was considered the ultimate goal of a person. And huge amounts of benefits and abuse, I suppose, takes place with these sorts of positions because it's the highest ideal and it has religious authority. In the Catholic Church, you have what's called ex cathedra, where the priest or the pope can speak with the voice of God. So I think if we roll back what we mean by a priest from a Jewish standpoint, it will sort of cascade into appreciating how this stands radically apart from the general notion of a priest, in which case perhaps it will be less difficult to swallow.
Every translation is also an interpretation. As soon as you translate something to English, you're limiting it to that meaning in English. So maybe let's not call it a priest. Maybe it's a Kohen. Okay, so what in Judaism is the sect of Kohanim?
So to do this, I think I'd have to like take a step back in what's the point of the temple in general.
Okay.
Without getting too deep into it, the Jewish people are told to create, and it very much as we obviously know, this week's parasha discusses the idea of Kohanim. But the purpose of the Mishkan and the purpose of Kohanim come into play. What is the purpose of the Mishkan? Now, to maybe cut a long story short, every time the Mishkan or the temple is destroyed, it's never because they didn't build the right sort of things correctly. It's never because they didn't wear the right sort of clothes. It's always because they didn't live out what the Mishkan was supposed to represent.
So the Mishkan was destroyed, or the temple was destroyed, because they didn't act accordingly. So what was the thing meant for? What was the Mishkan meant
for? So in that lens, the Mishkan was supposed to encourage, educate, bring the Jewish people along a certain educational path, and thereby, when they didn't live up to those ideas, be it justice, righteousness, living according to the chukim and the mishpatim of the Torah, that's when God takes away the temple.
Okay, this feeds very well into our podcast from last week.
How so?
Is that last week we spoke about elevating the physical and the Mishkan being that place where that was embodied.
Correct. Exactly. Now, just to play it through to Kohanim, putting the Mishkan in terms of its objects to one side, the word Kohen comes from the word Kivun, which is direction.
Oh, cool.
It was also right up your street, also from the related to the word Bahon, which is a thumb. Which is a thumb directs...
Yeah, Bahon and Kohen. Yeah.
The thumb directs the hand. Without getting into the actual root of the word, it's supposed to be, once again, they are supposed to be educators to the Jewish people. Their clothes are supposed to embody this form of education on a symbolic level. But just to play it into how we actually approach Kohanim in Jewish law in terms of a core concept, they didn't own their clothes.
What do you mean?
The clothes were donated by the community. The clothes that they wore, that without these clothes, they weren't able to serve in the temple, were owned by the community.
So, symbolically speaking, I mean, I know that the clothes themselves had symbolisms interwoven, no pun intended, into them. But you're saying that in order to have entry into the temple and do what they needed to do as priests, they could only do that not if they are counted as individuals, rather if they are wearing the community's clothing.
Which is a message to them that it's not about them. They're not coming as individuals. I don't care about the individual Kohen. I care about what they're representing. But that means not only do I know that when I see a Kohen, the Kohen himself knows that.
Knows that it's not me, it's I was born into a responsibility of the community.
Correct. And just to feed that into the general question, in terms of a caste system, the priests clearly had a responsibility. It wasn't about them as individuals, it was about what they were representing and their responsibility and what they had to do. But just feeding into the idea of power, they didn't have land. This is a radical shift away from the general way in which we think priests are. Priests get advantages. Priests get free things. But they didn't get a wage, these priests. They received what was known as truma from the community, but there was no amount any community member had to give, or there was a token amount. But they didn't have to give to a specific kohen. They could choose.
So kohanim could be poor.
It's actually interesting if we have time. There's a fascinating idea at the end of this week's parasha, which develops the different sacrifices and how they relate to what the Kohen could receive for his work. But it's super symbolic, so I'm not going to get into it. Like literally from a par ben bokar, a certain type of bull, two types of rams, different types of baked goods that were offered up.
Symbolic to what?
The different levels of...
service that a Kohen does?
No, different levels of reward they could receive. One of the baked goods was baked, boiled, and fried, and full of oil to represent the richest form, and that it would have a slow degradation down to a more basic form of bread, to recognize that them in their position, they could really receive anything for their work, and they had to be okay with that.
Communal servants.
But that, in essence, that's what the Jewish people are supposed to be as well.
Wait, what? No, the Kohanim.
Right, but we are supposed to be a nation of priests.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we are... We are called Mamlechas Kohanim V'Gol Kadosh, so a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. Okay, hang on. So if we use this symbolism of wearing the community's clothes and helping the community get educated to a higher mission. So if we use that symbolism of a priest wearing his community's clothes and thereby being able to fulfill out his given mission... So it's not about him, it's about the mission. And now we're saying that the Jewish people are a kingdom of priests. Then what's the clothes? What's the Mishkan? What's the symbolism there?
Well, I suppose on some level, I suppose it doesn't perfectly match up, meaning there's not clothes we wear to be a Jew, but there are responsibilities we have to be a Jew which parallel what the priests were doing to us as individuals. The priests were doing to us as individuals were bringing us along. On a level, the Jewish people are supposed to act in a way, and so they have that acting in a way that leads the world in a certain direction. That's what it means to be a chosen people. So it's not about the individual Jew. It's about what you're doing. Now, my relationship with God is an individual idea, but my job as a priest to the world is a communal role. And if I'm not living up that communal role, then I'm not living up to my responsibility.
So the priest not wearing his own clothes... How would that then parallel to us in the world? Potentially that we're not better on the face of things from when we were born than any other person. We have to give ourselves to the cause. Does that make sense?
So the parallel to the clothes, I suppose a good maybe let me just say it like this. Maybe a parallel to the clothes could be that just like it is with a priest, he recognizes by the fact that he has to don these clothes that it isn't an essential character of who he is.
From when he was born.
A Jew shouldn't look at their responsibility as being born a Jew somehow makes them better.
They have to grow into it.
Correct. Now, it's also the fascinating thing that winning a specific genetic lottery somehow makes you a better person. A priest who said that would be very bizarre. A Jew who says that by that same token would be very bizarre.
So it's cool because we're called Mamlachas Kohanim. So this is an underlying reason that we are called that, that we have to be a light onto the nations and that we don the clothes consciously, not just, oh, we're born in this, woohoo.
Correct.
Very cool.
Do you want to sum up the answer? Or
okay, so the question was the whole case system. We really believe in free will and that we can achieve greatness without being born into anything. And you're saying yes and no. The priests are born into something, but rather than it just being something to be proud about or to get freebies for, rather they were given stuff to provide for their livelihood because they weren't getting a wage, but they don clothes that aren't theirs, which symbolizes a mission that they're taking on of the community, not necessarily by dint of their own being better than anybody else. And then you connected it to the fact that we are all priests in the world, in that trying to make the world a better place, not because we are better, but because we're trying to hold a grand responsibility.
Right.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good week.
Have a good Shabbos.